Morning.
Good morning.
Pastor Eric is in Wrangell, stuck in Wrangell, couldn't make it back. We will not be having communion this morning. Sue Paulson will be reading a sermon that Pastor wrote. And we welcome all of those here this morning to worship, as well as those listening on the radio. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll begin with our confession and forgiveness as found in the bulletin. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
I would like to announce to you that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, and has we receive forgiveness through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
We continue with This Is the Feast. All together. Before we say the prayer of the day, I have an announcement. Our beloved brother, Bill Newman, passed away last night. So let us continue with the prayer of the day all together. Benevolent, merciful God, when we are empty, fill us. When we are weak in faith, strengthen us. When we are cold in love, warm us. That with fervor we may love our neighbors and serve them for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Good morning. few words of introduction to the first reading of Habakkuk 1, verses 1 through 4, and the second chapter, verses 1 through 4. Injustice and violence in the time leading up to the Babylonian exile moved this prophet to lament. How can a good and all-powerful God see evil in the world and seemingly remain indifferent? God answers by proclaiming that the wicked will perish, but the righteous will live by faith. Then the reading. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteousness, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see that he will say what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write this vision, make it plain on tablets so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. The word of the Lord. And now we will read responsively Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers.
For they will listen to the ale like grass and wither like a green herb.
Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security.
Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart.
Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act.
He will make your vindication shine like light, and the justice of your cause like noonday.
Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices.
Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret.
For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. The second reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. And this message was written from Paul to Timothy as a personal message of encouragement. In the face of hardship and persecution, Timothy is reminded that his faith is a gift of God. He is encouraged to exercise that faith with the help of the Holy Spirit. The reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. When I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our God or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to our own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but is now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know that one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. God, the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's stand for the gospel acclamation. Now, the Holy Gospel from Luke, chapter 17, 5 through 10. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus instructs his followers about the power of faith and the duties of discipleship. He calls his disciples to adopt the attitude of servants whose actions are responses to their identity rather than works seeking reward. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had the faith of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
And now, the children, please come forward for the children's message.
Test, test.
Well, today Pastor Eric isn't here. I'm missing him because I'm his wife. My name is Carol, and he asked me to do the children's sermon because he thought that was the last resort. So do you guys remember the Christmas tree downtown last year? Do you remember how big it was and full of lights and stuff? Well, what would it take to move a big tree like that? Do you think you could do it? We have some huge trees around right now. The wind is moving them around, isn't it? But it would take a lot to move those. Could you do it by yourself? No, no. None of us could. Well, today's gospel, they're talking, Jesus said that if we had the faith of a mustard seed, we could move that tree into the sea. How big is a mustard seed, do you suppose? Well, I drew some dots on the back of this paper. That's how big a mustard seed is. Those are pretty tiny, aren't they? That's not very big. If we had that much faith, we could move one of those big trees right out into the sea. Seems kind of impossible. What's this thing here? Do you know what this is? What is it? It's a yardstick, yeah. And what does it do? It measures stuff, yeah. It can measure how tall we are, it can measure how big our feet are, it can measure how long our fingers are. It could measure a lot of stuff. Do you think it could measure our faith? Faith is a hard thing to measure. But he said if we had faith the size of a mustard seed, we could move that tree. Well, what is faith? Do you have an idea what faith is? What is it? Believing in yourself. Your faith is also something you believe in God, and you're believing in God's power, right? And it's also trusting in God. Do you think you could measure faith with the yardstick? Yeah, I don't think so either. Well, Jesus is telling us today we can't measure faith like we measure other things, but we can use it, and we can see faith in action. And the way that we can see faith in action is by helping other people. We can rely on God to help us share with others. We can help. We can talk with people that are lonely, or we can just help take care of things on God's earth, right? And faith is also trusting that God is always going to be with you. You can remember that. It doesn't take a lot of, because God will give you all the faith you need to do all the things that you need to do for him. Okay? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us. Help us to love you and others. Help us to always trust that you will always be with us. That you will always be with us. Amen. Thanks for coming up. It's good. It's always good to see you guys.
What a day. The lawn chairs are all over the lawn, blown by the wind. The garbage cans are all tipped over and even chewed on the side. The pastor detained in Wrangell for some reason. When he invited me to read the sermon, I said, "There is nothing funny about the Old Testament or the New Testament." And he said to me, "Be serious." Then the committee said, "And don't drink from his bottle." I'll use the cup. But meanwhile, here it is, the sermon from our pastor, Eric Olson, who I'm sure is reading the same one in Wrangell today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever been given bad directions when you are driving? Does your Garmin or your phone ever say, recomputing or making a U-turn? What happened to me last week, it happened in Albuquerque. It's frustrating to be led astray. In the paragraph that precedes this morning's gospel lesson, Jesus instructs his disciples to be constantly on guard so that nothing they say or do ever causes someone else to be led astray or to lose faith. Listen to the four verses which precede our gospel. Jesus said then to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone to whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea, then for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' then you must forgive." That seems pretty good advice for the church as well today. There have been many times over the past few decades where the words and actions of some Christians, especially those who have gained a certain notoriety in the public square, have caused other people, especially younger people, to lose confidence in the Christian church and their faith. Often, the first adjective applied by those outside the faith is that the church is too judgmental. So today's gospel call to confess our own sinfulness and to concentrate on forgiving others seems appropriate. In fact, living lives of integrity, owning up to our own shortcomings and our need for forgiveness, could change how others perceive the Christian faith. I'm reminded of a friend who, whenever church comes up in the conversation, says, "I was kicked out of Sunday school in 1958. And I have to say, "Jim, tell us again, how did it happen?" And he said, "I mixed up the figures on the flannel board and she kicked me out." Well, I reflect that today, forgiveness within the church context is so much more widespread. Today, a Sunday school teacher under these conditions would say, "Wow, Jim, I see on the flannel board, Moses seems to be riding a camel, towing a wagon with the wise men. Tell us more about your ideas." He would not be kicked out. As an individual believer, I'm committed to putting these two principles as close to the center of my life as I can. And I know many of you are too. They lie close to the center of what it means to be Lutheran. As Lutherans, we're well aware of our sinfulness and our constant need for forgiveness. We know the Holy Spirit's at work within us to mold us into the people God has called us to be. The problem is, it's not easy. I am far from being the perfect reader of this sermon, perhaps even further from being a perfect Christian. And I know there have been many times when my sinfulness and brokenness have been a hindrance to others. And as much as I want repentance and forgiveness to be at the heart of every relationship in my life, well, I admit, I'm wrong seven times a day. Or forgiving someone as often as seven times a day seems a bit out of my reach. So I understand the response of these disciples. At first glance, it seems the disciples just don't get it. They think faith is something they can quantify, and they want more of it. They cry out in desperation, "Increase our faith." Can you imagine what they are thinking? Jesus had just told them they need to place following him more important than family, than life itself, to give away their possessions. Now they are challenged to repent as many as seven times a day, to forgive someone seven times a day. Lord, if that is what you expect of us, you are going to have to cook us up to an IV and pump in as much faith as we can possibly hold. Their response is understandable. The problem is, It is misguided. It is based on the notion that if a believer could acquire more faith, that life would go on much better. And of course, that goes along with the corresponding belief that if one has less faith, then life won't go on as well. I haven't found either of these beliefs to be true. In my years of ministry, I have come to know some remarkably faithful people who have struggled with difficult times, and frankly, some people who have no interest in faith at all, who seem to lead charmed lives. Faith isn't some innate power that makes life go better or that makes us more successful as Christians. Jesus seems to make note of this in the gospel. The disciples realize this is not going to be easy. They cry out for Jesus to give them more faith, and he replies, "Faith? You want more faith? You don't need more faith. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, one of the smallest seeds known in the first century, you would be able to command a mulberry tree to be uprooted and launched out into the sea." Jesus knows they don't need more faith because he knows that faith is not a commodity, like something you might trade on the New York Stock Exchange. Faith is grounded in trusting in the one who first loved us. Faith is a relationship. In a culture where we are persuaded that one can buy or secure whatever we need by making good choices, we'll be happy and live blessed lives, faith is countercultural. Faith isn't a substance we can measure or count or earn. It's not something we can add to, subtract from, or quantify like the stock market. When the disciples ask for more faith, it seems Jesus grew frustrated. Jesus has spent so much time with the disciples. They have witnessed his ministry and miracles. They listen to his teaching and preaching. They are with him on the journey to Jerusalem, where he has told them he will meet his death. Yet still, they don't perceive that faith is about trust in this relationship with God. It's interesting that the disciples asked Jesus to increase our faith. It wasn't increase my faith. The disciples had discerned they were not in this alone. They needed Jesus and they needed each other. Faith isn't something you can do alone. One of the primary reasons we come together in worship each week is to encourage each other in faith. That's why the best way possible for parents to pass on their faith with their children is simply to talk about it, to share, that is, how their own faith shapes their words, reflections, and deeds, introduces them to people of faith, bring them to worship. Faith is a gift that's passed down by hearing stories of faith, those of the Bible and those close to us. The Christian community is not one that is divided between those who have much faith and those who have little. If we only have faith the size of a mustard seed, that is more than we need. What matters is that Jesus has called us and he can be trusted. Faith is giving up the notion that we can do it on our own. Faith is giving up the notion that we have to do it on our own. Faith is the willingness to rely on the promise of one who defeated even the power of death and who now calls us to live lives of integrity and forgiveness. Lives of integrity and forgiveness when things are going well, when everything seems to be falling apart, when dreams are not coming true, when life just isn't what we imagined it was going to be, when we find ourselves overwhelmed with fear and self-doubt. Even in our darkest hour, faith is the capacity to trust that God is with us, and that is enough. Faith, as Jesus described it, is just doing your job. Even the simplest things done in love and faith can have a huge impact. You are being faithful when you are being a good friend or working to keep food on the table or even paying your taxes and voting for people who spend those taxes well. How we approach our ordinary, everyday tasks is central to our faith. Even the simplest things done in faith can have impact. Imagine all the good things you did last week. As neighbors, friends, employees, employers, students, spouses, caregivers, children, citizens, volunteers, it is huge. Imagine what the last week would have been like if all those things had not gotten done. Imagine if we subtracted everything that you and other faithful people did around the planet last week. The world would be a darker place today. What we do matters to God. What we do matters to our neighbor. What we do touches and changes lives. So Jesus tells his disciples back then and right now that being faithful is about recognizing all the God-given opportunities that just show up and do what needs to be done. And here is the Pastor Eric Olson list of suggestions for this week. Care for those in need. Protect the vulnerable. Care for the environment. Pick up the litter. Stand up for someone at school who's being bullied. Encourage a classmate or a teammate. Reach out to the lonely. Befriend the friendless. Volunteer with the EMTs or the fire department. Be a teacher, a coach, a nurse, a caregiver. Serve on community boards and government. Listen to someone who needs to talk. Pray for someone else. It's all the ordinary stuff we do all the time. And taken together and blessed by God, it's extraordinary. Perhaps faith is simply heading out the door and looking for opportunities to be God's partner and co-worker in the world. It's not heroic. It may not even move trees or mountains, but it is essential. Amen. And now, our hymn is, Lord, Speak to Us, number 676, and it calls for us to stand.
Standing as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as found in the bulletin on page 6. Together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the
Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body. You may be seated for the prayers. Again, we remember traveling mercies for our pastor. Make it back safely. Lord, you have called us to be a people of prayer, taught to call you Father, and promised to answer your prayers of your people mercifully. To this end, we come with the prayers and petitions and supplications of your people in Jesus' name. Though your grace may seem slow, we trust, O Lord, that you will grant us all things needful in their proper time. Just as you have brought forth your own Son in the fullness of time to be our Savior, grant us patience and humility that we may not despair or grow weary of waiting, but live by faith each day. Lord, in your mercy. Though we often yearn for that which we do not have, you have not abandoned us to disappointment. Be with those couples who desire a child but have not seen their dreams fulfilled, and make us mindful of their suffering. Be with the orphan who seeks a home most of all, and help us to provide for a home and a place through adoption where this longing may be satisfied. Lord, in your mercy. Though we are filled with the sound of words, you speak, O Lord, the word of life, and grant us the Holy Spirit that we may hear and hearing believe. Raise up many who will speak your word to us, faithful church workers who will do your bidding on our behalf, and missionaries who will bring hope and light to those who live in the shadow of death and darkness of sin. Lord, in your mercy. Though we fear the world is out of control, you have placed limits upon all things. O Lord, hear us on behalf of those who exercise authority over us, who order us according to laws, who execute justice, and who defend us against our enemies. Bless our president, Congress, governor, legislature, and all those who make and administer and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy. Through the afflictions of the body and mind confound us, you have promised to be with us in every need and to grant us grace sufficient for all needs of the body and soul. Be with Marjorie, Madalena, Bruce, Renee, Harvey and Sarah, Becca, Joan, Tim, Bill Newman's family, Lee Ribick, Char Hoyson, Stan Yort. And now, Lord, we bring all that we pray for out, either out loud or in our hearts. All for whom we pray for now, that they may know the comfort of your presence, healing from their ills and strength to carry them through this time of trouble. Lord, in your mercy. Though death still claims our mortal bodies, you have raised up Christ so that we may pass through death to our own joyful resurrection and to the great reunion of those who have died in Christ and now rest from their labors. Receive our thanks for all the saints and for their witness, and hear us on behalf of those who mourn the loss of those they love. Bring us at last to the place of everlasting life, that we may see you face to face and live in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. Though time and money seem in such short supply, you have promised to supply us with all that we need and more. Give us generous hearts that we may recognize the poor and needy and share your abundance with them. Give us faithful hearts that we may cheerfully supply the tithes and offering through which your work is done on earth and your church is supported. Lord, in your mercy. Though earthly bread too often dominates our thoughts, you have given us Christ, the bread of life, whose flesh and blood are true and real food of everlasting life. Open our eyes to recognize Christ's body and blood. Lord, in your mercy. All these things, O Lord, and whatever else we need, we pray you to grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died and rose again, even now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Our Lord beseeched us to come to him as our Father as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I invite you to share the peace with one another. We continue our service with the gathering of our offering. Please rise for the offering song, Create in Me, in the bulletin.
We are grateful, O God, and renew our hearts.